Greetings in the name of our soon-coming Savior and Lord. Your speaker is John A. Horn of Atchison, Kansas. Now, I should like to turn with you to the Word of God and notice a few things that believers in our Lord Jesus Christ possess. For instance, what believers in our Lord Jesus Christ know, what believers in our Lord Jesus Christ have, what believers in our Lord Jesus Christ are, and what believers in our Lord Jesus Christ expect. And so we're going to begin with what we believe is the starting point. If you were to turn, for instance, to the first epistle of John, chapter 5, and about verse 13, you would read this amazing statement, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." So that true believers in God's beloved Son, those who trust Him personally as their Savior, begin with a definite knowledge of salvation. In other words, we know that we have eternal life, and as we have it in this same epistle, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. And then if you were to turn, for instance, to the Gospel by St. John, and in the very third chapter, where our Lord Jesus Christ has a discourse with the religious Nicodemus, a man who professed to know, but like all others, when he came face to face with the Son of God and that one who was the eternal Son and the eternal Word. And you see, when we may have preconceived ideas and notions of our own as to how everlasting life or eternal life is obtained, but we must abandon our own thinking in that respect and bow to the terms of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so he said to Nicodemus, the man who thought he knew and who boasted of his knowledge, but the Lord Jesus Christ said unto him, "We speak that we do know and testify that we have seen." That's what he could say so clearly and so definitely. And then if it said further, "And ye receive not our witness." And so when we come face to face with the Word of God, when we allow the Word of God to speak unto us, let me state it once again clearly and most emphatically, we're in the realm of definite and absolute certainty. All fear is gone and all doubt is gone because God's Word is supreme. His authority is supreme. And so it's within the realm of possibility for you to know that you have eternal life here and now. What a blessed, blessed knowledge it is, and how precious to know it and to enjoy it in one's soul here at the present time. Then again, if you were to turn to the Gospel by St. John, chapter 17, this is embodied in the Lord's Prayer, and I'm sure you need not be confused as to what is the Lord's Prayer. You see, thousands of times, millions of times, very likely each week and perhaps even each day, there are those who begin by saying, "Our Father which art in heaven," and they think of it as the Lord's Prayer. But that is not the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer is found in the Gospel by St. John, chapter 17. And in that wonderful chapter, that 17th chapter, and the third verse, he has this to say, "This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent." So that the knowledge of salvation comes from not merely learning a passage of the Word of God, but from knowing a Savior, having a personal introduction to that one who came from God. And I'm sure all who know him and all who know they have everlasting life here and now, they speak of a person that has entered their lives and one who has come to make their abode. And thank God we can say, "Christ for me, Christ dwelling richly in our hearts by faith." And we're wondering if all who are listening in do know him and do know what it is to have here and now eternal life. Think, will you, of the words of the great Apostle Paul. If you were to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1, and verse 12, you would there read, "I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." So again, let me stress that eternal life is knowing a person, knowing the subject, the chief subject of the Word of God. You see, he could say, in the volume of the book, it is written of me. It presents to us a person, one that came from God, and indeed who was very God himself. And so, to have the knowledge of salvation means that you must know him as your own personal Savior. And then there are so many things that believers in our Lord Jesus Christ do know. I can think, for instance, of the words of the great Apostle Paul on another occasion. He was writing a letter to some who had suffered, and I take it if you read it in connection with the passage that just precedes it, it was addressed to suffering saints, to those who were passing through trials and passing through sorrows, and the apostle has the joy of telling them, well, it can't be for very long, and it's only for a moment, as he puts it, well, to use the scripture itself. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17, I'm reasonably sure you turn to it and find it for yourself. It reads there, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Then he proceeds in the very next chapter by telling them, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Now this is in prospect for all who know Christ, and let me stress it, you must know him. Whom to know is life eternal, or you could never lay claim to a precious promise and a precious verse that we have just read from 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1. That's only for born-again souls, those who have come to know Christ as their own personal Savior. And then again, those who belong to Christ, there are other things they know too. If you were to turn, for instance, to the Epistle of Paul to the Romans, chapter 8, and about verse 28, we read there, we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and to them who are the called according to his purpose. For you see, after all, he does have a purpose for his own. But shall we proceed now just a little bit further and see what believers in our Lord Jesus Christ know? And then we're going to say a little about what believers in our Lord Jesus Christ have. And we may not be able to say it in this message, but we might only be able to sort of introduce it, but we'll say more in another message to you about what believers in our Lord Jesus Christ have. But what do believers in our Lord Jesus Christ know? Not only merely that we have Christ, not only that we have eternal life, but if you will turn to the first epistle of John, and this is, as we often stress in our messages, this is the family epistle. And of course, it has to do especially with those who are in the family of God. You see, by nature, we were in the family of Adam. In other words, we had a link with the first man, Adam, who introduced sin and death. And death passed upon all men for all of sin. But to those who have come to know Christ as personal Savior, come to know him. And I tell you, there's a growing acquaintanceship with him and a growing knowledge of himself. And surely, the better we know him, the better we would love him. He's interested in us, and he loves us with an everlasting love. But look further, will you, at the first epistle of John and chapter 2, and in verse 20, we read this amazing statement, but we have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. Now, that's the potential to all who are in Christ, who have come to know him as life eternal, have trusted him as their own personal Savior. We have within us the potential to understand all that God in sovereign grace and mercy and tender love has given to us in his revealed word. And the apostle goes on to say, and we know all things. Of course, we understand that the word and God himself are inexhaustible. And we can say, as we learn more of himself, yet there's more and more to follow. But if you read the Word of God, and we are told to, and in fact, using his own words, he said in the volume of the book, it is written of me. He's the chief subject, the grand subject of this blessed, blessed, holy book, the Word of God. And to know Him, to think of knowing Him, for instance, as Savior. And even to know God, we know God as our Father. But now shall we proceed a little further in this same epistle? And if you were to turn to 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14, we read there, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in darkness. Now this comes at conversion. It isn't something that we have to learn. But the very moment, the very split second that I come to know Christ as life eternal, I come to know him as my own personal Savior, I'm introduced into the family of God with unnumbered brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what he has to say too. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Yes, and I further recall to mind a passage that's found in the Gospel by St. John chapter 13, and it's an amazing chapter. It begins by telling us in the very opening verses, having loved his own which are in the world, he loved them unto the end. But I want to think of verse 35 and link it up with the passage that we have just been considering. Verse 35 says, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." That's a mark that characterizes, I may say it's a divine mark that characterizes every really, truly born-again soul. Not only do we love him, but we love others too. We love the brethren. And there ought to be a tender spot in your heart for the perishing, for the poor world. We ought to love and have compassion on those around us who do not know Christ as their own personal Savior. So if the love of God is filling your heart and the knowledge of it is filling your soul, it will be characterized by love, first of all, to God, love to the brethren, and love to a perishing world for whom God sent his Son and for whom Christ died. May the Lord help us to know more and more of his love from day to day and a better acquaintanceship with himself as we know him better. For his name's sake, amen.